Hi, this is Russ Fulkin for the Integral Leadership Collaborative Conference, and today I have the great honor of interviewing Bill Joyner, who is the co-author of the book Leadership Agility, which, by the way, received an award from Integral Leadership Review a few years ago. We even have pictures of Bill holding the plaque. He is president of ChangeWise and has worked with leaders and organizations for over 30 years. And I've noticed as I've been tracking what's been going on around the world that he keeps popping up in the U.S. and Europe doing these programs on leadership agility. So, Bill, I guess this must be a core part of your work.
Oh, everything that I'm doing now is focused in some way on leadership agility or is coming off of that book and the research that underlies it.
Fantastic. Well, what are you currently interested in and excited about? Are there things that you're researching or teaching or working on applying that would kind of update us on mm-hmm. what you're doing?
Well, there have been a lot of developments since the book came out, and I think I should just say, since all of it is sort of in reference to the framework that was articulated in the book, that I should just say something briefly about that for those who haven't read anything about it, that it's about stages of personal development, as described by people that many would recognize, Ken Wilber and Jane Levinger's ego development model, and Bill Torbert and Suzanne Cook-Reuter, who built on her work and connected it with leadership, and Bob Keegan's work, and other people. But those kinds of stages, and then we looked at what does it look like when leaders who are at different stages take action. And we were able to create a very practical map of leadership behaviors that correlate with each of these stages. So in specific areas like leading organizational change, leading teams, and pivotal conversations. So really everything that's happened since then has been a way of sort of building on or applying or doing more research on that framework.
Well, what might be an example of one of the upgrades or shifts that occurred since you wrote the book?
Well, one big area of application has been assessment. So we discovered that this research would really work well in a 360 feedback format, although it required creating something of a non-traditional 360. And we created that in collaboration with Cambria Consulting, which is also here in Boston, where I'm based. And they've sort of been leaders in the field of 360 assessment for a number of decades. So it's been a very fruitful and rewarding partnership working with them. And, we've wound up training and certifying a number of coaches from around the world to use that instrument, and we've learned some interesting things through the data that's come back from that. So that's one key area. And another that's sort of related to that is that when the book first came out, we had just kind of an outpouring of interest from leadership coaches saying, well, how do you use this framework in coaching? And so we developed a training process for coaches in, people who are already trained and experienced as coaches but wanted to bring this developmental perspective in, and one that was very focused, that included this focus on leadership behavior as well as the stage, the meaning-making process, and how that shifts underlying the behavior. So that became a new piece of our work, and so there's kind of the workshop around that and one around the 360 certification. There's sort of separate complementary things. And then there's been all the work we've done with managers and organizations, which is really our main focus, have created some training programs for, regular managers. For example, one that has to do with leading organizational change. So how do you bring essentially a higher, how do you shift to a higher stage in the way that you are leading change? And we call these the behavioral dimension of each stage in leadership terms, leadership agility levels. So it's a workshop where people bring actual change projects and they work on them. It's a very action learning type approach. But while they're doing that, they're approaching their project from a higher level of agility than they would typically approach it. And it's customized so that people can sort of take whatever's their next step. So we have that. We have Pivotal Conversations programs that are, you know, that apply these stages in terms of, you know, challenging business conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And we've also started working with the last thing I would mention that sort of has been an interesting new development for me is that, you know, I was originally trained as an organization development consultant, meaning that I have always brought a real systems perspective to any work that I do with organizations. Working on this book really brought the focus down to the individual leader, and that was kind of like a pretty much of a handful to handle just with that focus and doing all that research. But since then, have broadened it so that one of the concepts that I'm working with now I call leadership culture. So it's like it's the part of the organizational culture that sets the norms for what leadership looks like and really is the biggest determinant of the organizational culture. And, you know, this it turns out that the leadership culture has levels just like individual development has levels. And so we can help organizations assess where their level of agility is in their culture and do they want to shift that to a higher level, all of which really depends on, you know, it's like the faster your environment is changing and the more interdependencies you have to deal with, then the higher the level of agility needs to be. And that's kind of what gets business folks interested in this whole thing is understanding the need for organizational and team agility as well as individual leadership agility.
Interesting, because, you know, I'm aware that James O'Toole a number of years ago published some research that showed that the effectiveness of leaders was also dependent on the degree to which systems processes and technologies and structures and so on supported the effective performance of these individual leaders,
mm-hmm.
or people in leader roles. And, you know, I was going to ask you about the relationship between the leadership agility and the integral leadership model, and you've touched on three of the quadrants and implied the fourth, the kind of the internal contribution of the individual to their own agility, as
mm-hmm.
well as the behaviors and competencies that they demonstrate,
mm-hmm.
the culture of the organization, but by implication, also the degree to which the systems are aligned with
mm-hmm.
the agility. Is that right?
Yeah, so you're asking about how does this fill out those four quadrants?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, I would say if you look at it through that lens and you say you're really the whole line you're looking at is really an organization and not an individual, then in the bottom quadrants you're going to have the organization. And yeah, the work that we're doing on leadership culture is predominantly a lower left kind of work, and the lower right is something that is more of a frontier in our work. We're approaching that in a couple of ways. One is we have methodologies that help people utilize a sort of a higher stage approach to leadership to redesign those kinds of structures and systems. And the other is just some collaborations we're exploring with some other firms that specialize more in that area.
Okay.
That's where that is at this point in time.
Yeah. Are there particular, from your perspective, are there particular practices that you associate with integral leadership that you see as important?
Well, you know, I think of integral leadership as something that evolves by stages. So I wouldn't say this is integral and that's not integral. You know, it's more like this is less integral and that's more integral. Mm. And in the terminology that I use with business clients, I use the term agility because it's action-oriented and it implies the kind of thinking and meaning-making that the word integral does. So what we did in the book was we defined what sort of leadership practices tend to emerge at each stage. So that would be quite a lot to go into. I'll be going into that more in the presentation. But it was very interesting to me. I mean, it's like not only are there correlations between the stage a person's at as a leader and the way they do certain kinds of leadership things. I mean, literally the way that they run meetings, for example, is distinctively different at different stages. And, those meetings become increasingly open, trusting, participative, dialogical, all those kinds of things. There's any particular practice area that you might pick, like leading team meetings, evolves in a particular direction. The book lays out, you know, a huge number of practices, and there's a sort of a different constellation of practices at each level, each of which sort of emerges from and builds on the ones before it.
Well, excellent. I think we're going to learn a lot at the conference from you about that, and I'm really looking forward to it. We're calling this conference the Integral Leadership Collaborative, because what we're trying to do is spread the word about integral leadership. We want people to have a better handle on the scope of the idea of integral leadership, the potential for application, and to help, you know, move the word out into the world. Looking optimistically into the future, is there a particular outcome from this conference that you would like to see that would help our community to move forward?
Well, I think it's really wonderful that you're doing this. It's a chance for people around the world to tune in and to listen to a diversity of voices. And I think that's one of the neat things about, I've looked at the roster of people who are going to be giving presentations, and, you know, there's both a very kind of clear common thread that you can discern, I think, through all these people's work that makes it integral leadership, but there's also a lot of diversity, which I think is really great. And, it's because I think the last thing we need is some new dogma about leadership. So I think events like this really kind of keep the exploration alive. And so I hope it allows people to see both that diversity and commonality in integral leadership, that it stimulates further exploration by more people, and that it engages people on a more global level. So that's what comes to mind for me. I think it's great that you're doing this.
Thank you. I'm particularly impressed that we've been able to bring presenters together from India, Germany, Iceland, Mexico, and a variety of other countries, and And I'm just, I'm really grateful for the opportunity to bring these voices to as many people as possible, because I'm aware of some of the just extraordinarily exciting work that people are doing out in the world, including people like you, and I'm so glad you're going to be with us.
Well, and the focus on application that I think runs through what most of these people are going to be talking about, I think is another thing that's really, really important about what this is helping to bring about. I think we're kind of in a phase now where there's a lot more emphasis. You know, it's like this is an inspiring theory,
mm-hmm.
And maybe many people have experienced personal development within this kind of context. And I think, you know, the big question now is, what does this look like in a really pragmatic sense in a whole bunch of different domains? You know, I've been pleased to see the emphasis on application in these presentations as well.
Great, me too. Well, thank you, Bill, so much. It's been great talking with you again, and I look forward to hearing you.
Thanks, Russ. Great talking with you.
All right, you take care.
Okay.